Welcome to Critical Eyes podcast, Leadership in Uncertain Times. My name is Mark Barber, Director of Content at Critical Eye, and I have Matthew Blagg, Critical Eye's CEO, with me. Welcome, Matthew.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. I mean, today we're going to run through some of the findings from our recent virtual Asia Leadership Retreat, which I thought was a fascinating set of discussions and interviews where we looked at, I mean, the key themes we've been exploring around customer centricity, employee behaviour, but obviously set against a different backdrop, a different set of challenges. But I thought some of the themes and discussions sort of brought out similar points and learnings, didn't they, over the course of the debate. I mean, I suppose my first question to you is I mean, how would you describe the tone and tempo of those discussions at the virtual Asia retreat that we held? I mean, I would say it seemed to be more forward looking. But like I say, some of the challenges were very much the same.
Well, I think that it's a fascinating point last week because of the timing. You know, we're at the end of the year. To a certain extent, from a business perspective, you kind of know where you are now. So in that sense, if you're in a reasonable place, you're in a reasonable place. If you're in a great place, you're in a great place. If you're in a poor place, you're in a poor place. So you've come to terms with where you are. And I think in that sense, you can be reflective and open about the year you've just gone through. But you're also now focusing on the year ahead. And I think that for most of us, we're really focusing on next year and beyond. And I think that what you saw last week is that combination of components, you know, the pressure that's been there over the year, you know, challenge, you know, the difficult personal elements, you know, remote working, the shift of leadership skills, the brutality of the environment that we've all globally been facing, coupled with the refreshment of opportunity, change. And you had that sort of blend of the two. And I think you could see that in one sense, everyone's tired. I mean, you know, universally, everyone's exhausted. But then they're also now, and leaders are energized by new starts. And obviously, we're coming towards the new year with a new start. And you can see that, those two themes running through the retreat and obviously globally, I think, where we are.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly optimism. I mean, the news of the vaccines is great. I think we all appreciate and understand it's not necessarily a quick solution, but it is certainly a cause for optimism. And there's a sense that we're moving to the sort of light at the end of the tunnel, if you were. But then, I mean, again, there's the reality of what's happened. And there was, you know, a phenomenal sort of stat that was produced at the start of the retreat, where a commentator said that outside of the post-World War II economic collapse, there has not been a worse time than the one we're currently in. We're in the worst peacetime downturn in the last 100 years. Sobering, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think that is a reality. And I think it depends where you've sat in that, in the sense of, you know, there's obviously places where it's been relatively straightforward. And if anything, has accelerated growth rates. You know, if you look at technology, if you look at some of the pharma sectors, unquestionably that it's accelerated. You obviously have the converse side. There's the sectors and areas that have been decimated. And in some ways, it's been as brutal as that. Probably the pack in the middle of now realize probably it wasn't too bad. So if you look at it now, you know, you've had the high performers, you have the mid pack, and you've had the low performers. Yeah. Generally now you're seeing that the mid performers are fine. So there isn't the fallout corporately that I think people were expecting. Whether that comes, I think, is an interesting question mark. As governments tighten up fiscal policy, and question mark, will they? Because you've got a very fragile global economy. So it's a really interesting economic tipping point, and look back in 10, 20 years, sort of that implication. I think that's the cautionary note for everyone. And but there is real opportunity, even in the sectors that have been down, as you say, because of the vaccine, you can argue there's massive opportunity. And so I think you're beginning to start looking at that opportunistic element. But I think a realist would still say we're in for a really difficult 12 to 18 months, and I think in particular around leadership. And you can see that you've, you know, this element of different new models. I think we'll only really know the leadership model in another 12 months time, and I think there's a lot of people who work from home who won't want to go back to traveling, and I think that's going to be a big regional issue.
Yeah I mean, at the start of the retreats we put up a word cloud where we ask people to describe one word or use one word to describe how they feel and sort of capture the sentiment. And the words that came up were challenging, lonely. We had energizing as well. One person put Superman. Again, it's, you can be too simplistic and say, well, there's lots of growth. If you look at China's recovery, it's astonishing. It's GDP rate. Some trackers are putting it back to sort of 7% rate of growth. But it's not as simple as that, are there? There's a lot of companies that will have to undertake significant operating model change, and execs are exhausted.
I think that it has been, and I use the term raw, it's been an incredibly raw year for most people when they're honest. And most organisations are having to deal with pain. And I think that's what came out through those words, is that how brutal and hard it had been. Yes, there's the optimism, because to a certain extent, the people in the room there, they're the winners, or they're the survivors, depending on which way you look at that. Those are the individuals who have a forward agenda. There's obviously a large number who for whatever reason aren't there anymore. And I think that we shouldn't underestimate the pressure that individuals have been under. And I think you've also got to remember any trauma, and if you go and talk to doctors about anything, the actual mental elements after the trauma. And I think that's something that everyone needs to bear in mind around. I think that people think, and there's a lot of talk about snapping back. There's a lot of things to work through in a lot of organisations, particularly around the leadership and people agenda. And that you can absolutely see both corporately and personally. And I think that's the big interesting thing, is pretty well everyone in the world is going through this slightly unusual reassessment of who they are and their values. And that's happening on both a state, a corporate, and an individual level. And I think the implication of that's going to be really fascinating.
So, as in, are you prepared to spend a large portion of your life traveling?
It's wrapped into the other core thing that's coming out of critical now about purpose and that alignment on purpose. And I think, again, if you take that states sort of having to really answer the question of why do we exist, I think it's and then you break it down to corporates in terms of purpose and then individuals' alignment. You know what, you know, and so. I think that there's never been a point when I think those things have been as clear as they are today.
Yeah. I mean, and to your point, we put a poll up where has the pandemic forced a rethink of leadership capability within your organisation? It was an emphatic yes. 91% said yes. And again, there's just been a sharpening of focus, hasn't there, over the course of the year. You've looked at your business model. The operating model may have needed to change, which in this instance means digitization, and you have to look at the people within that.
Well, I think that there's not a surprise that there is now a high degree of change at the executive level, and that will continue into next year. And I think that change is precipitated by a number of elements. First of all, individuals who have worked at a pace they don't want to continue working at, and possibly at a stage in their career when they've got choices ahead, and so you'll get a lot of executives going plural right now. I think conversely, you've got organizational simplification going on again globally, you know, and if you look at the regional challenges, most organizations are really looking at the markets that they're in. Are they in a number one position, a number two, a number three position? What's the capital position they've got to take advantage of that? You know, how many product lines? So what you are seeing globally and regionally is that real assessment of the story of the business, the clarity of the purpose, and the alignment of resources. And within that, there's a key component is your leadership skills. And again, that cultural capability is really important. And the interesting theme that's also coming out, ironically, talent's less of is rarer now than it was pre the pandemic, is the general consensus coming out. Because to a certain extent, everyone's looking for the individuals who thrived in this environment and thrived through ambiguity and made it. But of course, that there's a shortage of skills now. So ironically, organizations are also going to really find it difficult to retain and keep their talent. And that balance is going to be really interesting.
Well, it's compounding a long-standing problem, isn't it, in terms of... Although, interestingly, if you look at some of the other research that we carried out, so retaining key talent and developing skills is, for about 3 years, we've run that retreat, been the top priority for companies over the next 12 months. That's been bumped now. So digitization is the number one priority, which again feeds into, you know, what we know, where it's that operating model shift, isn't it, that's underway.
It is, but I think there's in some of the more digitally advanced organizations, I think you've got some really interesting challenges that we're seeing more imagine is high growth, and in a lot of ways it's massive acceleration of growth in some of these big technology organizations, and the leadership structures and capability are not necessarily able to catch up. And I think that's a really important theme, because the technology components of those skills are really advanced. The people area, the people skills, the investment in that culture, it's the leadership piece that's going to unpick them now. And
yeah, it was certainly one of the points made by one of our board mentors, where he was saying, obviously, like a lot of, say, Chinese companies are digital natives. There's no legacy issue because they're digital from the outset. And you've got some astonishing growth from companies there. I mean, I've posted on LinkedIn about it. I mean, WeBank, I mean, within 6 years, I think it's got over 170 million customers. I mean, that's eye-watering. And WeBank is a spin-off from Tencent, right? But the point was made, fantastic growth, but the leadership capability, like, not speaking specifically about WeBank, but within these digital native companies, you're looking at the leadership capability, you're looking at org structure. It's going to be a big challenge.
Well, I always remember, and I've been doing this now for quite a long period of time, and in my youth, I always remember the case study of Sony and PlayStation. And for me, that story, and then compare that to now. PlayStation was created because a group of technology people in Sony went to a group and said, we think there's an opportunity in gaming, we'd like to set up a business. And the board looked at that and said, there might be, but we're not sure, we're not going to let you use our name. So PlayStation was set up as an independent child. And because it was an independent child, it didn't have the same rules, same culture, and it grew in itself. It then got to a certain time where it became an infant, and there's a certain point where the infant needs some of the corporate elements and structures. So at that point, the Sony brand name came onto it. But they were still left relatively young. It then got larger and larger, and then it got to a large organization, at which point it consolidated, and obviously the group consolidated. But that happened over a 20-year period. What you're seeing now is this happening over a three-year period, two years.
Yes. And
the reality of that is that it's a complex matrix honeycomb leadership to get these things right. To have suddenly a massive spurt up without that ball of infrastructure and the honeycomb built, it's a hell of a thing for leaders to manage that. And I think you've got massive risks associated. And I think organizations are recognizing that. So this element of growth has got to be aligned to long-term integration and the leadership capability. And that, I think, is one of the real trends you're seeing in some of the really growth-oriented areas. I think they've got a really interesting challenge over the next 12 to 24 months.
Yeah, it's skills, it's talent, it's oversight and structures that need to be put in place. And like you say, because it's a classic dynamic, an entrepreneurial business grows very quickly. Okay, then you have to put corporate structures in place. You don't want to kill the innovation that's got the business to that stage. And there's always a delicate balancing act. But like you say, this is done on fast forward, isn't it? It's at such a rapid pace.
Well, and one of the solutions which will naturally happen is some of those high growth vehicles acquiring more traditional assets. And of course, we ended the retreat with the great case study of Sing Life, which is that wonderful example of disruptive organization, grown very fast, and but has then acquired an established set of assets, and ultimately then the blend of that to create culture. And I think that, that again, that will be a continued increased trend.
Yeah. Moving it on, I mean, purpose and ESG just keep coming up, don't they? Wherever you are, it's a big topic. There was a danger that where companies are so operational and they've had to sort of focus on the day to day, that these topics get sidelined in the way, let's say, sustainability and CSR was during the financial crisis. But it's not happened. It's still going to be big next year, isn't it?
Well, there's no question that ESG, the environment, and corporate responsibility is hugely important. And I think that, you know, at the end of the day, for lots of different reasons, but if nothing else, because those corporates have got to motivate and drive the people who work for them, and there's a massive engine room in those organisations for change in that area. I think you then couple that with the funding environment that is small but massively growing. Big global funds now are driving into these areas in a hard way. So, and then you've got the third bit, which is the global economy needs change to create growth. And there is a reality that climate change and putting in agendas that essentially, such as electric cars, is a massive growth engine for the global economy. And I think the reality is governments will regulate more, they'll bring in things faster, and organizations that are ahead of that curve are going to massively outperform.
Yeah. I'm encouraged by the way that, I mean, just in terms of, say, the way companies are approaching decarbonisation, how it's driving innovation, how it's really getting them to think differently about materials, but then how that's tied into exec incentives, bonuses, it's performance metrics. It's like the dots are now starting to be joined. And I think that's hugely, encouraging.
Well, it's a global trend. I was talking with a large global listed CEO this week, chemical business, and was articulating that their biggest customer, one of the large consumer brands, is enforcing 40% reduction in some of the material that they're using. And unless you do it, then you're out as a supplier. And again, you know, the reality of it is, you know, you change because you're ahead of a curve, or you change because the curve's taking you over. And I think that's the bit where the progressive organizations are really running ahead of these waves. I think if you're behind the wave and you've just been focusing on performance this year, I think you're going to have a really difficult road ahead over the next 2, 3, 4 years.
Yeah. And I think it did come back to, and those companies that are performing, they've got an eye on obviously the performance at the moment, and they're communicating with their employees, and they're understanding the stresses that they're under. But there is the forward agenda. Okay, the customer's moved here. How do we get there? What changes do we need to get in place? But again, I think maybe that's one of the themes of the year, isn't it? It's the pace that the execs need to move at.
Well, and I think this, particularly if you take regionally in Asia, I think that the executives in the region are generally used to traveling extensively. But I think that they didn't necessarily factor in how much downtime they had through travel. And yes, you know, they probably got a car to the airport, and obviously they got business class environments and lounges, but there's quite a lot of downtime. What you've had this year is no downtime, because everything's virtual, everything comes in at you. You can be contacted all the time. You're constantly available. And by the way, there's positives of that, because you can run at a more efficient level, but it's also brutal. And I think the really interesting thing is how sustainable that is, how much travel comes back, how you take the blend of virtual and physical, and how you get the best hybrid out of that. And I think there's a really interesting organizational challenge with scaled organizations about how they get those two things to balance, because I think that we shouldn't underestimate the challenges individuals have been under, and the challenges balance, people have to have balance at the moment. And that balance is so important for good leadership. If you're out of kilter, you generally create problems in organizations. And I think that balance point for individuals, as we come towards the end of the year, as we refresh ourselves, is really important for them to think about for 2021 and beyond.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think there's also there's an interesting area of uncertainty as you look to the year ahead, isn't there, about, okay, as the environment normalizes, to use an odd word, how much of the digital aspects do you keep and that pace, and then how do you go back to pre-COVID, if you like, pre the pandemic? And I think that's going to be pose an interesting set of dilemmas for organizations when they look at their business model, when they look at their employees, the freedom and flexibility that many of them have had. It's not going to be straightforward, is it?
It's not, but I think the organizations that are close to their customers are making and are taking the customers on the journey. So they're both close to the customers of today, but they're also taking their customers on a journey for tomorrow. Those organizations haven't changed things drastically because of COVID. They've been changing them because that's where the line of traffic is. And again, I think that what you're seeing now is good, clear leadership where, yes, there's been a degree of reaction, but much less than in other organizations. And they've had and carry on having a long-term agenda of change that probably is sped up, but ultimately, if anything else, they're on the same journey they were on before, and they're very close to the customer. Now, I think the really interesting question is, has the pandemic changed consumer behavior? And we will only know that answer probably by back end of next year or the year after. And I think that's the nervousness that when executives go to sleep at night at the end of the year and think about the year ahead. I don't think anyone knows that. And I think that will be the really interesting thing to watch in the first 6 months. And I think leaders that are really close to their customer will be able to take advantage of any other changes that come through, because I don't think anyone knows the answer.
Yeah, because broadly at the moment, if you ask whether the strategy's changed, they'll say no. They're sticking with the strategy. And I think that's logical. But like you say, if customer behaviours have changed dramatically, then it's going to involve a bigger pivot, really, isn't it?
Back to the original point, Mark, and you know, you talked about the reality of this has been the biggest impact in our lives, certainly globally, economically, and I think more beyond socially as well. You don't, when something hits you like that, you don't really know how people are going to be until after it, until you look back. And I think we're still at the point where the wave's hitting us. And so I don't think it's very easy to predict. So I think you can look at behaviours today, but at the end of the day, I think that how it changes things, I think you can probably see the trends. And I think those visionary leaders will be able to disseminate from the chatter to see that forward agenda. And I think you can begin to see that comes back to the climate, the environment, but this element of leadership and how able you are to adjust your leadership and really agile, I think is so key at the moment. I think it's really important that you, as you say, reflect on the year, write it down. I mean, I've been through really difficult points in my life. I've taken and written a diary through it. Not because I'm someone who particularly likes writing, but more to get it out. And I think that's a really important thing for individuals to really reference what they've done, what they've achieved. Because in most cases, a lot of the achievement will be semi-ignored. And make sure you celebrate that internally, because that cultural success is huge. And so the element of really, really discussing and openly sharing what has been achieved is massively important. But write a line on the year. You know, you then, the other side of this is, you know, the job of leadership is forward. So put closure into this year and don't carry your baggage into next year. You know, your team needs to be refreshed. Make sure they get the break in. Make sure you get the break in. you should be running at a higher pace next year. You've got to have the adrenaline in the organization. Now, the baggage, if you let it carry on, and if you it will massively hamper you. So for me, you know, the real job of leadership now is to draw a line, celebrate. And I think it's really important to use that word. Wherever you've been situationally, you need to celebrate the achievements that everyone in the organization has done, and celebrate the year that you've had, and then focus on next year and take forward all the positives that you've got, and make sure that you leave the hesitancy back and look at it from a blank sheet of paper.
Okay, we'll wrap it up there. Thank you, Matthew.
Take care, Mark.
Take care.